Welcome to the Scout Sunday Podcast, your weekly source for scouting news, viewpoints, training ideas, and a variety of other topics. I'll be your host, Kyle Peters. I'm an Eagle Scout, Scoutmaster, Council Chaplain, and generally enthusiastic scouter. Join me and some of my friends occasionally in conversations that lead us down the trail to Eagle and beyond. Well, welcome back. This is Scouter Kyle, ready to talk to you about some rank advancement. You see, one of my jobs in scouting, and when I say jobs, I'm a volunteer. I'm an adult leader. But we have jobs, right? Like your scoutmaster, his job is scoutmaster. Your committee chairman, his or her job is being the committee chairman, that sort of thing. A lot of us have multiple jobs within scouting, multiple things we do. And one of my jobs is being a lone scout friend and counselor. And another one of my jobs is being scoutmaster of a troop. But what I've noticed is by helping out a few lone scouts here and there, that they're lone scouts because they don't have a troop nearby to belong to, and so I help them out in a less frequent fashion or a more remote type fashion, but it's not exclusive. The need that I'm seeing here that I'm getting to is not exclusive to lone scouts either. Scouts in general can have a rough time understanding rank advancement and whatnot, and so I wanted to make a series where I go over the requirements for rank advancement and cover those things so that you, as a scout, can go through your rank advancement and show up ready to go. You know, if you're a scout in a traditional troop, then you can show up ready to go when it's time to have your scoutmaster sign off on rank advancement. And for lone scouts, this is a way to learn things and then go to your advisor and get things signed off that way. Because lone scouts typically are a little more independent by nature, because they might live out on farms or ranches or something like that, or they might be homebound for one reason or another. There's all kinds of reasons to be a lone scout, and lone scouting is an awesome program. And if you are a lone scout, stand up a little taller and be proud. Be proud to be a lone scout, because it is rare, kind of sadly, but also awesomely. And it's a great thing that scouting offers for scouts, that you don't have to be in a troop if one's not around for you. So what I want to do is I'm going to go over requirements, the sub-requirements for requirement one of the scout rank, and we'll go through all of the requirements at some point in time. But this week we're gonna start with number one requirements for scout rank. And scout is the first rank that you earn as a new scout. And it's basically the nuts and bolts of being a scout. Interestingly, if you read ahead down your requirements list, and your requirements are in your handbook on page 441 of the current edition, and as I say that, I'm wondering what edition this is, because there have been a lot of editions over the years. You know, the very first scout handbook came out well over 100 years ago now. So I don't have the edition number right in front of me, but I do see that it was copyrighted in 2024. So this one is pretty darn new, as I'm recording this in October of 2025. So on page 441, we have the Scout requirements. And you'll notice with Scout rank is it's the shortest list of requirements in the ranks through first class. It is one page. There are seven sections of requirements. The first section, the first requirement, number one, has parts A through F. And it's also the only rank that doesn't require a board of review. So this is show up your first meeting or two if you're in a traditional troop. Maybe within your first week of being a Lone Scout, you should be able to get the Scout rank accomplished, finished. Because it's fundamentals. And these, when I say fundamentals, I mean these are things that you're going to repeat every time that you have a Scout meeting or are around other Scouts almost. Or if you have a meeting at your home as a Lone Scout, you're going to do a lot of these things. Not all, but a lot. And so we're going to go over this. Let's look at 1A. Repeat from memory the Scout oath, Scout law, Scout motto, Scout slogan. In your own words, explain their meaning. And this new handbook does this cool thing where it parenthetically shows you what pages in the handbook to go on. And I just happen to have my handbook right in front of me, as hopefully you do too. And I look on page, it says, see pages 11 through 18. So I'm going to go up in the front of my book to page 11. And the requirement says, repeat from memory the Scout oath, law, motto, and slogan. In your own words, explain their meanings. So I'm going to try and make this quick. And I will recite these. And I can recite these from memory. I've been doing this for a long, long time now. And it gets easier every time you do it. And eventually, it will just be second nature to you that you know these. But I think the understanding grows over time. Also, I want to make a little statement here about reciting these. It is not a race. There is an inclination, particularly among younger Scouts, to try to get through these things as quickly as possible. I'm going to urge you not to do that. But as you say it, take it seriously that you're saying on your honor, you will do these things. That as a Scout, you will be these things, Scout law. And you're pledging an oath. And you should take that seriously. You might do it once a week. You might do it once a month. You might do it three or four times a week. I don't know. It depends on your circumstances, your situation. But take it seriously and mean it when you say it. So, the Scout oath is on my honor. I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country and to obey the Scout law. To help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. The Scout law is 12 points. And it says that a Scout is trustworthy, loyal, helpful, friendly, courteous, kind, obedient, cheerful, thrifty, brave, clean, and reverent. The Scout motto, now, you got to be careful. This is one of those things that Scouts sometimes come up with silly things. And in the case of my troop, the Scout motto is something silly that an adult came up with. And those of you who are of a certain age may understand that in my troop, when somebody says, what's the Scout motto? The response you're likely to get is, nothing, what's a motto you? And you young folks won't understand that because you've probably never seen Rocky and Bullwinkle. But the Scout motto is be prepared. The Scout slogan is do a good turn daily. So what do those mean? Well, here in the handbook, it tells you what they mean. But the requirement says, in my own, or in your own words, explain their meaning. So my recommendation to you is to read through pages 11 through 18 and understand it before you go in, and then you'll have a foundation that you can, of knowledge that you can put into your own words. For instance, and I won't read all of this to you, so you won't have to be bored with that. But if we look on page 11, and it has the Scout Oath, on my honor, I will do my best, blah, blah, blah. And it says, on my honor, has an ellipses, dot, dot, dot. Honor is the core of who you are. Your honesty, your integrity, your reputation, the ways you treat others, and how you act when no one is looking. Ooh. By giving your word at the outset of the Scout Oath, you are promising to be guided by its ideals. Those are just the first three words. Man, that's powerful to me. And so when we say, on my honor, we're not just saying, oh, I promise. We're saying, I will do this. On my honor, I'm sacrificing my integrity, my reputation, if I don't follow the rest of what is said here. I am risking, I'd be telling a lie. That's kind of what it's saying, that if I don't do the rest, then I'm telling a lie right now. And of course, we're not those kind of people. We're so much not those kinds of people that we'll, at least weekly, typically, stand up and say, on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, and to obey the Scout law. Well, now, if we're saying honor, honor, we will obey the Scout law. The very first point of the Scout law is that we will be trustworthy. And it goes on, says, I will do my best. Now, I take this is kind of contradictory in a way to me, but at the same time, I understand it, and I go with it. It says, I will do my best. Do all you can to live by the oath and law, the Scout Oath, which includes the law. Even when you are faced with difficult challenges. So that's something important too, I think. The Scout Oath and law are not just for when you're at a scout meeting. They're not just for when you're wearing your uniform. They're not just when you're on a campout. They are all the time. 100% of the rest of your life, you've taken an oath. You have sacrificed your honor or put your honor up at stake that you will do these things. And that should be a serious thing, and it's awesome. Let me tell you, if this sounds boring to you, then I want to just say you're wrong. It's not necessarily the politest thing, but if this sounds boring to you, you need to rethink it, because this is an awesome responsibility in the truest sense of the word awesome. But it's also a lot of fun, because when you meet other people going forward, other scouts and scouters, you should have a baseline of confidence in who they are as a person, because they've stood up and they've said the same thing. Now, they may not have thought about it quite as much as you have, because you have not listened to the Scout Sunday podcast with Scouter Kyle, and you haven't learned all these things maybe in the same way, but they've said it, and so they're most of the way there too. And it's a pretty cool thing. Again, I'm not going to go into every detail of this. I'm going to leave this up to you to go through these things on pages 11 through 18. But I encourage you to read these so that when you get up and have your Scoutmaster conference or your border review. Now, your border review is probably not going to ask you for this level of detail, but they are going to ask you to recite the Scout Oath and Law, potentially. That's a real thing. But during your Scoutmaster conference, your Scoutmaster might say, hey, tell me this. Go through this. If nothing else, your Scoutmaster is going to do this with you when you want to sign, when you want them to sign off on the requirement, right? Because requirement one, repeat from memory the oath, law, motto, and slogan, and in your own words explain their meaning. So then you just go back through it. Well, the Scout oath is on my honor. You know what? I remember reading that, and I remember this weird dude on a podcast saying that I was making a promise and that I was putting my integrity and my honor at stake. You know, I was putting my reputation up for this because I'm saying it. And so it kind of starts everything out as being an awesome responsibility. And then go through the rest of these. I will do my best. Do all that you can to live by the Scout Oath, even when you're faced with difficult challenges. To do my duty. Duty is what others expect of you. But more importantly, it is what you expect of yourself. To God. Now, this is an important point for me, personally. But I want to encourage all of you to read the application that you filled out, or maybe your parents filled it out for you. Read the application that you filled out when you became a member of Scouting America. Because right on the front page of the adult application, and I believe it's the second page of the youth application, is the Declaration of Religious Principles. And you've signed that and said that this is how part of how you're going to live your life and part of what being a scout means. And so I'd encourage you to read that. But this is also kind of individual. We all see things. I shouldn't say we all, but many of us see things through one lens, and some of us see things through another lens. And we're of different faiths, different religions. And that's the beauty of scouting, is scouting brings together people of different religions, whether you're Christian or Muslim or Jewish or any number of other Hindu. There's a number of different religions, and I apologize if I've left yours off the list. But your family, this is what it says in the book, your family and religious leaders teach you about God and the ways that you can serve. You can do your duty to God by following the wisdom of those teachings and by defending the rights of others to practice their own beliefs. That's pretty strong. And my country, obey the Scout law, we've already talked about that. Help other people at all times. I think you can come up with some words. You probably don't even need to read that part. But you should. What's it mean to help other people at all times? Well, I know what that means. That means I'm always there to help other people. I can hold a door open at any time for someone, right? So read through the rest of these and then restate it in your own words. The Scout Law. Again, there's 12 points here. And in each one of them has a discussion that can be had about it. Probably a pretty lengthy discussion. So I'll read the first one here. A scout is trustworthy. A scout tells the truth. A scout is honest and keeps promises. People can depend on a scout. And let me tell you something. If you're new to this, you may not understand this fully. I am not new to this. I've been a scout since way back in the 1900s, and that wasn't that long ago for you youngins out there. Don't get sassy with me about that. People have an expectation. When they see you in uniform, they develop an expectation, or they already have an expectation developed, and if somebody hears I'm a scout, they expect something. They've seen it in movies. They've watched Follow Me Boys or Mr. Scoutmaster potentially. They've seen people over the years, and they've, even if it's not really even based in reality or what their actual experiences have been, people have an expectation of what a scout is. And I think it starts right here. With a scout is trustworthy. A scout tells the truth. A scout is honest and keeps promises. People can depend on you. And that's what they expect. And if you say, let's go to the end of the trail here, and it's not really the end of the trail, but it's the end of the trail to Eagle is Eagle Scout, of course. And if you say, I'm an Eagle Scout, now people really expect something from you. And you kind of have an obligation to fulfill the reasonable parts of that. People may have an expectation that that you're going to be, you know, some superhero, and we're not. We're normal folks, but they do expect you to be honest, that you can, that you're dependable. They expect you to be loyal. A scout is loyal to those whom loyalty is due. Loyalty can be shown everywhere, at home, in your troop and patrol, among your classmates at school. You can also express loyalty to the United States when you respect the flag and the government. Give real meaning to your loyalty by helping to improve your community, state, and nation. That's cool. Scout is helpful. We always think that kind of goes back to being loyal and being trustworthy, that you can be depended on. But being helpful, caring about others, helping without expecting payment or reward, just being there, just doing it. And hopefully what you're seeing by being involved in scouting is you're seeing that very point of the scout law being put into practice every time you're around other scouts. You know, when we go on campouts, if my scouts are done setting up camp, I expect them to go help others set up camp or look around for other work that needs done. And however, though, you know, you might need to break away, right? You might be setting up your tent, but you look over and you see somebody else really struggling or trying to lift up something heavy. You can, your stuff can wait for a moment and you go help them out. You know, that's being helpful. And I think that is super awesome that we do that. And it's just part of our culture. It's actually, honestly, I think a scout is helpful and friendly. The scout law is just one of those things that makes being in scouting so rewarding and so much fun. If I run into a group that doesn't live the scout oath and law all the time, it's disappointing. You're like, what? That's not scout like behavior. Now that's rare. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to put a wet blanket over this conversation at all. That's pretty rare, but it happens occasionally. That's just not scout behavior to not be trustworthy and loyal and courteous and kind, etc. So again, read through all of these and be ready to go. And what you're going to find is as I just discussed, this covers one of the next points. 1B, explain what scout spirit is. Describe some ways you have shown scout spirit by practicing the oath, law, motto, and slogan. So, scout spirit. Now, there's on page 15 of the handbook, because it tells us that it's on page 15, right, in the requirements. There's a yellow box, and that yellow box says scout spirit. You show scout spirit by making the oath, law, motto, and slogan part of your life. How well you live the scout oath and scout law can be judged by you and by others. You know when you are being kind and when you are being helpful and a good friend. You know when you are trustworthy and reverent. You know how you act when no one is around to see what you do. Do your best to live each day by the oath and law. You might look back on some of your decisions and wish you had acted differently. That happens to all of us, right? But you can learn from those moments and promise yourself to do better in the future. Oh, there's a key right there. So you got to recognize when you've done something that doesn't coincide with the oath and law, and you got to make a plan in your head to not do that again, to be better, to fix it. As you use the Scout Oath and Law for guidance, don't be surprised when others recognize those values in you and respect you for it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. You'll notice that the more you recite these things, the more you commit them to memory, and the more that you make them part of the fabric of your life, people will treat you differently in the best ways. Because you're no longer the average goofball running around acting like a crazy person. You are now someone of integrity and competence, someone that others can count on and rely on for all kinds of things. You're somebody special. Now look, I know you're somebody special, and your mom sure knows you're somebody special, right? But this is going to be a game changer here that other people are going to say, there's something different about that person. Something different about that kid over there. What's up with them? Somebody else is going to say, oh, she's in Scouts. Oh, okay. And again, there's an expectation. They know something there. They don't know necessarily what they know, but they know something. And as we look here, you know, I'm gonna be the good Scoutmaster here. I've got my cup of coffee, and my voice is getting a little froggy here first thing in the morning. All right. As you use the Scout Oath and Law for guidance, don't be surprised when others recognize those values in you and respect you for it. When a non-Scout tells you that you are behaving like a Scout, that's a good sign that you have Scout spirit. Set high standards for yourself and strive to reach them. Ask nothing less of yourself, and no one can ask anything more of you. The Scout Oath and Law are not meant to be just recited at troop meetings, and they are not to be obeyed just while you're wearing your Scout uniform. Huh, where have we heard that before? The spirit of Scouting is always important at home, at school, and in your community. That means all the time. That's a pretty cool little block there. That didn't take too long to read, did it? I made it longer, but you can read that pretty fast. That's awesome. All right, so we did 1A, 1B, 1C, demonstrate the Scout sign, salute, and handshake. Explain when they should be used. All right, so this is pretty easy. 1C, page 18, 18 and 19. Let's get there. All right, we turn the page. Scout sign. Now, if you've come from Cub Scouts, the Cub Scout sign with your right hand is your index finger and your middle finger spread apart and your hand straight up in the air. As high as you can reach, right? You got your wolf ears, the ears of a Kayla, paying attention, listening around, bringing in all the sounds of what's going on around you. But in Scouts, we make a three-finger sign, and it's our index finger on our right hand, okay, our index finger, middle finger, and ring finger up, and then we hold our pinky finger down with our thumb, and we keep our fingers together. All right, those three fingers shouldn't be spread out like a W. They should be together and straight up, not curled around like you're about to grab a stick with three fingers, because that'd be weird. So they're straight up, and then you put your elbow and your shoulder up at 90 degree angles. So your humerus bone, the upper part of your arm above your elbow and below your shoulder, should be parallel to the ground. And then your forearm between your elbow and your wrist should be straight up and down. All right. So that's the scout sign. And the salute, we just bend our elbow down until our index finger touches the edge of our eyebrow, our right eyebrow. Not your left eyebrow, because that'd be weird and you wouldn't be able to see anything. But your right eyebrow. If you're wearing a hat, you can go to the same place to your eyebrow. You can go out to the brim of your hat, I suppose. But I generally go about to my eyebrow. And you want to look sharp. Do you need to look like a member of the old guard guarding the Tomb of the Unknowns at Arlington National Cemetery? No, you don't need to look like those guys. You don't need to be stiff as a board and standing up straight in hurricane force winds. But you should look like you're taking yourself seriously. Absolutely. The handshake. Now, this gets a little confused sometimes. The scout handshake is with your left hand. And otherwise, it's just a normal handshake. The interlocking of the pinky fingers and whatnot, that is not part of the scout handshake, believe it or not. The traditional scout handshake is just a left-handed handshake. Now, you might ask why. And the handbook doesn't tell us this. But the story I heard... And that's just this is just the story I heard, is that it comes from the days of the knights of old, and that if you laid down your sword, you carried your sword in your right hand and your shield in your left hand. It didn't matter whether you were right or left-handed, all right? But if you laid your sword down with your right hand to shake hands, that showed that you were not trying to hurt that person. But it also showed that maybe you didn't trust them because you're still holding on to your shield, right? And you'd shake their hand. And that the scout handshake, not only do you sheathe your sword, but you lay down your shield. You're showing vulnerability. You're opening yourself up to attack. And you're doing that because you trust that person. It's showing trust because a scout is trustworthy. So there's meaning to that. Now, how true that is, my friend Nick, the historian, would probably have something to say about this. And I'm going to say, I'm not going to let the facts get in the way of a good story. So we're going to lay our shield down and shake hands with our left hands because we can trust other scouts. All right? So that's the scout sign and the scout salute and the scout handshake. My question to you is, when do we use these things? All right. Oh, I forgot something. I'm looking in my handbook here and I realized I forgot something. So what do the three fingers of the sign and the salute mean? Well, they have a meaning. Everything's got a meaning, even if we don't think about it. The first one, it's three meanings because it's three fingers, right? Duty to God and country. Duty to others, duty to self. And if you look at the Scout Oath, those are the three parts of the Scout Oath. Duty to God and country, duty to others, duty to self. That's pretty awesome. All right, and then we do the salute, uses those same three parts of the Scout Oath to make the sign that turns into a salute. Now, when do we use it? Well, we use the salute to salute the flag of the United States of America. And now the book says you may also salute other scouts and scout leaders. And I disagree with that. I don't think we should be saluting other people as if we are in the military, because we're not. This is not a military or paramilitary organization. So I don't typically salute other people. And I don't encourage it amongst my scouts. That said, the handbook does say it, and I would not openly chastise someone for doing that. So Handshake, let's see, what do we got here? Extend your left hand to other scouts, grasp firmly, made with the hand nearest your heart. The scout handshake signifies friendship. Well, again, that story is great, and it's probably true that it signifies friendship, and it's the one closest to your heart, but that's not nearly as cool as my story, so I'm sticking to mine. Because only scouts and scouters know the scout handshake. Use the regular right-handed handshake when greeting people outside of scouting. Yeah, that's probably pretty legitimate. Requirement 1D. Describe the first class scout badge and tell what each part stands for. All right. Explain the significance of the first class scout badge. Now that starts on the same page as the salute and handshake, page 19 in your handbook. So again, read this and then you'll be able to put it into your own words when it comes time to get this requirement signed off. The imagery of Scouting America's rank badge features icons that are well recognized by Americans everywhere. That's true, actually. You show a scout emblem, the first class badge, you'll see it in movies and TV shows and such. People, that they'll wear the old campaign hats and they'll have that first class emblem up there on the hat. People just know. They don't know that that's the first class emblem necessarily, but they know that that's a scout thing. And that's pretty cool. So the design of the first class badge signifies a scout's ability to point the right way in life, just as a compass does in the wilderness. The three points of the fleur-de-lis, so that flowery cornstalk looking thing that is on the scout badge, that's the fleur-de-lis. That is an international symbol of, scouting at this point, but definitely here in the United States. And so that's it. You might also have seen it on the New Orleans Saints football team, American football, the real football. So that's the fleur-de-lis. Like the three fingers raised of the scout sign, they represent the three parts of the scout oath: duty to God and country, duty to others, and duty to self. That's cool. All right, so the first class badge. Now, you might notice something here, that as you work your way up the rank, you get the fleur-de-lis patch as a scout, what we're talking about right now. And then you can become a tenderfoot. It's the same emblem, but they put an eagle with a shield over it. All right, so what's that? Well, the eagle with a shield, an emblem of the United States of America, represents freedom and a scout's readiness to defend that freedom. Ooh. I like that. I like that a lot. You'll also notice two stars on the sides of the fleur-de-lis and right under the eagle's wings. The two stars symbolize scouting's ideals of truth and knowledge. So one star is truth, one star is knowledge. I'll leave it up to you to decide which star is which. As guides in the night sky for finding the way, stars also suggest a scout's outdoor adventures. Well, that's fun. All right. Now, when you get up to second class, so you, as you move up the ranks, scout, tenderfoot, then second class, then first class. All right. So the second class badge is a scroll. And it's, you know what? When I earned second class, I thought it was kind of disappointing in a way that we get this patch, because I go from having a fleur-de-lis to having a fleur-de-lis with an eagle and two stars, and I thought that was really cool. And then I get this scroll. Bum, bum, ba-dum. All right. But you know what? The scroll is important. The scroll displays the scout motto: be prepared. Be prepared is a big statement. We read about that just a minute ago. And what's be prepared mean? It means be prepared for anything. Be prepared for life, whatever life is going to throw at you. And it doesn't mean that you have to carry around the toolkit of life all the time, as far as like a toolbox with everything in it that you're ever going to need. It means carry around the real toolkit of life, your brain. A prepared mind. I heard something. I'm gonna get this. I'm gonna fumble this a little bit, and I apologize in advance. I heard something the other day talking about anxiety, and anxiety seems to be, I feel like an overused word these days. But I think it's something that we put a lot of focus on, and that's sad. It's sad that we do this. Anxiety, though, is a mental state of feeling as if you're not ready. You whatever is coming to you or whatever you're dealing with that you don't know how to deal with it, you're unprepared for it. And that's why anxiety should not be a state of being for a scout, because we're prepared. We're prepared to adapt and overcome and improvise. And I know all the Marines out there listening just said, no, it's improvise, adapt, and overcome. I get that. We're ready for this. We're ready to see a situation, maybe a situation we've never seen before, but we've been in something similar. Because scouting exposes us to all those things of dealing with people or dealing with new situations. And we say, you know, I've never been in exactly this situation, but I've been in one like it. So maybe I can do something else and modify it a little bit. And that's cool. I'm ready. I'm prepared. Cool. So the scroll displays the scout motto, be prepared. And its ends are turned up like a smile, because a scout smiles as each day, as each daily good turn is done. That's cool, right? And we are. We're happy. We're happy warriors in life. Maybe warriors is not a word we really associate with scouting, but we make our way through life, and we're happy about it. How are we happy about it? Well, because that's part of the scout law, for one, and because we're prepared. So what do we need to be unhappy about, right? The knot below the scroll is a reminder to do a daily good turn. And it's a pretty simple knot. Some of them I've seen look a little more like an overhand knot. The one in the handbook is hard to decipher exactly what knot it is. But it's just a little knot, and it represents doing a daily good turn. That's cool. All right. So the requirement was to discuss that scout badge. Well, what we noticed, though, is the first class badge takes the fleur-de-lis of the scout rank, the eagle and stars that are added to it to be the tenderfoot rank, and then the scroll and knot of the second class rank, and it puts them all together and you have the first class rank. Sweet. And then as we move up through the other ranks, this isn't part of the requirement, but it's the bonus. As we move up through the other ranks, we see that the first class emblem is maintained, and then we put a star behind it for the star rank, and we put a heart behind it for life, and we put red, white, and blue, and we do modify it a little bit more for the Eagle Scout rank. That is true. It gets modified, as it were, and that's okay. But just know that that's where the foundation of all of these badges come from. They all build on each other, and we add things to them. You know, when you earn these, you should get that patch, and you should go home and sew it on your uniform as quickly as you can. Now, I don't mean quickly as in hastily sew it on, but I mean do it now. Do it today. Do it tonight when you get home. Or if it is handed to you at the meeting, then at your next meeting, when you go home or you are home, sew it on your uniform. And be proud of it. Show that off a little bit. Don't be boastful. You know, you got to have some humility here, but wear it with pride. You say, but I'm only a scout. Yeah, you're a scout. Not only a scout, you are a scout. You've taken your first step down that path towards being one of the leaders of tomorrow. That's pretty cool. All right, so that was 1D and 1E. Echo, repeat from memory the outdoor code. List the seven principles of leave no trace. Explain the difference between the two. Now, our handbook does a fine job of bouncing you around at this point because we've been on page 20 for the first class badge and 1E is on page 223. Halfway in through the book, and then we're going to jump back up to page 60 for requirement 1F. All right. Now, the outdoor code was not a thing that we did when I was a scout. I'm pretty sure I'd have to pull my handbook off the shelf back here to check, but I'm pretty sure it was in the handbook, but it wasn't something that we recited. Here where I'm at locally in Colorado, it is recited every time we say the scout oath and the scout law, we say the outdoor code. And the outdoor code goes like this. As an American, I will do my best to be clean in my outdoor manners, to be careful with fire, to be considerate in the outdoors, and be conservation minded. All right. Well, what's all that mean? Well, guess what? Just like the oath and the law, the book, the handbook, describes this for us. And then you, when you're going to get this signed off with your scoutmaster or your lone scout advisor, will recite this back to them and put it in your own words. As an American, I will do my best. I have a duty as an American and a scout to care for the environment to the best of my ability. As more and more people use outdoor areas, scouts should set a good example of how to care for the land. That's right. See, we talked about this earlier, that people have an expectation. If you go out to a state park as a scout troop and you get set up and you pack up and you leave and they come back and walk by and they see all kinds of trash and they see where somebody took their hatchet and they just started chopping on the side of a perfectly healthy tree for no good reason, just whacking on it, just to whack on it with their hatchet. That's not a good example of how to care for the land. Okay, that's a bad example. We clean up after ourselves. We take care of the environment that we're in, and maybe we leave it better than we found it. Leave it better than we found it. That's what is expected of you as a scout. Be clean in my outdoor manners. I will treat the outdoors as a heritage. I will take care of it for myself and others. I will keep my trash out of lakes, streams, fields, woods, and roadways. Yeah, you clean up after yourself, right? And you clean up an area bigger. You say, well, my tent was right here in this 4-foot by 8-foot section, and I cleaned up. There's nothing there, and I'm good. No. We walk all around. In fact, if you're taking a hike, you're taking a 20-mile hike for hiking merit badge, and you are 10 miles out from your camp, and you see trash on the ground, you pick it up. You pick it up and you put it in your backpack. Now, if it's too big, you know, you see an abandoned truck on the side of the trail. You're not fitting that in your backpack, right? Then maybe you mark it and you let a ranger know. Or you let somebody from the county that you're in know that, hey, there's this out there and can we help clean it up? And honestly, in something like that, they'll probably say, no, we'll take care of it. Or, yeah, we know it's there, and people like seeing it there. You know, they like seeing that old truck sitting there. A lot of options there. Be careful with fire. Now, if you live in certain parts of the country, you may think, well, okay, fine, whatever. I mean, you know, yeah, we make sure we put our fires out. Here in Colorado, we take that a lot more seriously because a fire that gets out of control, a spark that gets out of control, can cause huge issues. Hundreds and thousands of acres can be lit on fire in a relatively short amount of time because one campfire gets out of control. And that does happen. I have seen wildfires here in Colorado. They are fast. Like the fire trucks, the wild, we have special wildland fire trucks that have sprayers on them, and they just drive right through these. If it's a small brush fire, they'll just drive right through it and spray out in 180 degrees around the truck and around the front of the truck and try to put the fire out as quickly as they can. And it's hard for the trucks sometimes to keep up with the speed of the fire moving across the field. It's ridiculous how fast these things move. So we're very cognizant of that here, to the point that our local summer camp, where I'm at, doesn't allow fires at all. You can have propane, your stoves, and you can have a propane fire pit, but that's all. That is all that we're allowed to have because that camp has had wildfire issues in the past. And they exercise fire mitigation efforts regularly. So that's a big deal. Be considerate in the outdoors. I will treat the land and other land users with respect. I will follow the principles of outdoor ethics for all outdoor activities. And be conservation-minded. I will learn about and protect good conservation of soil, water, forest, minerals, grasslands, wildlife, and energy. I will urge others to do the same. Yeah, absolutely. Real quick here, too, I want to cover those seven principles of leave no trace. Plan ahead and prepare. Travel and camp on durable surfaces. Dispose of waste properly. What's waste? It's all the things potentially. And what is proper in one area may not be proper in another. So typically, if you bring it into an area, bring it back out. Your trash, be careful about that. Try not to produce too much trash. You're going to have to carry it out. Now, the nice thing is, typically weighs less than when you brought it in, right? Like your food wrappers. All right, you have a candy bar, you eat the candy bar, or a power bar, a protein bar. There we go, protein bar. You eat it. Well, the wrapper weighs a lot less than the wrapper and the bar, right? So we go with those kinds of things. We pack it back up. Maybe we keep a trash bag in our backpacks just for that. Some areas, if it comes in, it has to go out. And that protein bar, after you eat it, becomes something you don't want to carry with you. But it's something you brought in, so it's something you bring out. That's right. Your human waste might have to be packed out. How about that? And some places you have to do that. Proper disposal may mean using the latrines instead of leaning against a tree. Guys, proper disposal might be digging a cat hole to go number two in. That happens. Sometimes it means packing it out. That happens too. So find out what is appropriate for your area. Leave what you find. I remember a camp that I went to that had signs up as you drove in. It said, "Take nothing but pictures, leave nothing but footprints, kill nothing but time." Leave what you find. Don't be taking souvenirs except pictures. Minimize campfire impacts. I think we covered that adequately for this conversation anyway. Respect wildlife. Now it shows a picture of an American bison. Some people call them buffalo, but I have been in areas with bison, and they are awesome creatures in every sense of that word. And yeah, you better respect them. You better respect bears, mountain lions. We have mountain lions here where I live, and raccoons. Got to respect the raccoons. Do you have to like them? No, maybe not. Or possums, but you should respect that they are there, that you are in their home, and that they're going to get into things, right? So control your pets if you have them or leave them at home. Avoid wildlife sensitive areas, especially at certain times. Don't feed them and stay away. Keep a distance, right? Be considerate of other visitors. You know, Scott is kind. We shouldn't have to say too much more than that, right? You know, if somebody's coming down a trail, maybe if you can, you step off to the side and let them go past. Be kind. Say hello. Say good morning. Say good afternoon, something of that nature. Take breaks and camp away from trails and other visitors. That's, you know, we don't need to be keeping people up at night, those sorts of things when we're camping. So just be kind. Now, it says here to explain the difference between the outdoor code and the seven principles of leave no trace. And that's something I think is largely up to you. The handbook doesn't necessarily break those down, that they're the difference between them. But clearly the outdoor code and the seven principles of leave no trace are overlapping. You know, that Venn diagram, there's a lot of overlap there. And so there's a lot of similarities that we should keep in mind and are helpful. You know, we're going to be conservation minded. Well, how are we going to do that? We're going to exercise the seven principles of leave no trace. We're not going to leave a trace. We talked about cleaning up our campsites, right? Make sure there's no anything anywhere. And trash that basically it's like we were never there. Ooh, spooky. We were ghosts in the night. There you go. Be the ghost patrol. You've mastered leave no trace, right? The last thing, requirement 1F, repeat from memory the Pledge of Allegiance, and then in your own words, explain its meaning. So the Pledge of Allegiance goes like this. If you don't know it, it's on page 60 in your handbook, and you should memorize it. Now, a lot of you probably already have this memorized, and that's awesome. But I want you to say it again in front of your scoutmaster or your Lone Scout advisor, and say it slower. And then say it again and talk about each point. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Well, what's that mean? There's a lot there, right? I think too, there's some history here that is important for you to read. And it says that in 1942, the United States Congress formally adopted the pledge, and it now opens countless school days, legislative sessions, and of course, scout meetings across the country. That's right. We say the Pledge of Allegiance at the beginning of every scout meeting. Not just scout meeting, Cub Scout meeting, Venture Crew meeting, Sea Scout Ship meeting, district roundtables. When you go to summer camp or camporees or something of that nature, opening ceremonies every day start with the Pledge of Allegiance, the raising of the flag of the United States of America, and the Pledge of Allegiance. The wording of the pledge has been changed four times. Most recently in 1954, when the words under God were added. Now, it says it's been changed four times from 1942 to 1954. So, in 12 years, they modified it four times. And we've been sticking with the same thing for what's that now? 71 years. 71 years we've had the same Pledge of Allegiance. And next year, as I'm recording this, it's 2025, and in 2026, we'll celebrate the 250th birthday of the United States, being formed by way of the signing of the Declaration of Independence on July 4th of 1776, and next year, on July 4th of 2026, we will have our 250th birthday of our nation, the sesquibicentennial. It's 200 years plus 50. That's pretty awesome. So what's this mean? You know, I think this is something that can somewhat be individualized. And there are good arguments around some of these points, particularly the first one. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. So what are you really saying there? Are you saying, I'm going to follow that flag anywhere? Well, kind of, right? Kind of. Because the flag isn't just a flag. It's a symbol of our nation. And if the flag is moving, if the flag is going somewhere, like going into battle, I'll tell you what, a lot of scouts end up volunteering for military service to serve their country. And I will tell you very briefly a story as I wrap up here of a great friend of mine who heard that call. And he said, you know, I'm a scout and this is what I do. And by the virtue of the things that he learned in scouting, he said, I need to keep serving my country. And he signed up. He enlisted in the United States Marine Corps right out of high school. And he went on to do some pretty remarkable things. And unfortunately, for the rest of us, the good Lord called him home. And he was, he gave his life for our country in service in the Marine Corps in Iraq, in the Battle of Fallujah. And he was a great man, a great young man. He was very young, relatively speaking. It's been a long time ago now, as I look back on that time. But he was a great young man, and he answered the call to service. And that's awesome. He saw the flag going into troubled areas, and he followed it. He said, if not me, then who? Here I am, Lord. Send me. That's what he did. And he did. He went in, and quite possibly, he saved a lot of lives the day that he died. And he lives on as an example of serving his country and following the ideals of the United States of America and the republic for which our flag stands. We are indivisible with liberty and justice for all. We are one nation under God. That's pretty remarkable, isn't it? You know, and so I want to close this as you are starting your scouting journey. I want to close this by honoring Lance Corporal James Swain, who was my friend, who I shared a tent with in Scouts and a canoe with a couple of times and a lot of great campouts and a lot of great memories. He was an awesome dude and he stepped up and he served his country and he served scouting. He did not make Eagle, and that's okay because scouting isn't all about being an Eagle Scout. Scouting is about being a good person and a fine leader, and he was those things. He lived out the ideals of scout spirit. He showed it every day from the time that he was a young man of maybe 10 or 11 and right through to his death as a United States Marine serving his country. He was a good man. He was a good leader. That's pretty awesome. I hope to maintain that level of that example that he set for us. So you're on that path now too, to being a good person and a good leader and a fine scout. You may not find your way into the Marine Corps or something of that nature as time goes on, and that's okay too. All right? We all have our calling, but scouting is now part of it, and I welcome you on this journey. So we'll have some more of these, and we'll cover other requirements as we go along. And until then, I look forward to seeing you out on the trail.